Professor Hilary Pilkington from the University of Warwick Sociology Department has just started work on a large-scale collaborative study looking at young people's social participation across Europe. The Memory, Youth, Political Legacy and Civic Engagement Study, known as My Place, will run for 4 years and involves young people from 14 countries. We spoke to Professor Pilkington to find out why this study is particularly timely. So in the last few weeks, we've seen images of children, some as young as 11, rioting and looting on our streets. Comparing that to footage a few weeks later of A-level students whooping for joy as they got their exam results, and you're getting a very black and white picture of young people today. Do you think this is how young people are viewed in society, as good kids and bad kids?
I think there's been a tendency in, not only amongst public opinion, but amongst academic writing as well, to think about young people in these kind of binary ways. Young people are traditionally seen as being good if they're institutionalised in some way. So they're in school, they're in university, they're in college, they're going along a trajectory in which they are moving towards that place in society which we would like to see them in. And young people that are outside of those institutionalised forms are seen as being somehow errant, or at worst, as we've seen recently, feral, out of control, wild. And there's a certain deal of essentialist language that comes in here, which is quite interesting. So I don't think it's anything new what we're hearing in the discourse. I think it builds on these kind of assumptions that we have, that young people need somehow to be controlled because of a set of assumptions that we have about their particular biological stage of development.
What kind of issues do you think are facing young people today? Do you think there are clear paths for them to engage with their communities and society?
I think young people are obviously in a very difficult position. We've tended to think about society as progressing in a very linear way, with each generation taking up a position which, as long as they play the game, as long as they take part in society as they've been encouraged to do, they will be better off. For example, in lots of ways, in terms of material well-being, in terms of psychological well-being, than the generation before them, than their parents. And what we see now is a generation of young people who are being told that probably they'll be poorer than their parents, probably they will have to work longer for less than their parents. So young people clearly have to find a way of thinking positively about what are presented to them as limited ambitions, at the same time as we have the development of an aspiration industry, if you like, through programmes, you know, like X Factor, talent programmes and so on, where they're told that whatever you want, you can have it as long as you go for it, as long as you give it your all, if you have some kind of inherent talent. And I think that kind of a mismatch between what they're being encouraged to think that they could have and what they see as being realistically an option for them is a real problem for young people right now.
And just thinking about that point of them being told your generation will have it worse than your parents had it, It's quite an interesting turnaround, because traditionally young people are always told you don't know you're born. Yeah. That whole idea That with everything you've got today, you're so much better off than your parents.
Yeah. Yes, I think, I mean, it does overturn the natural order of things, and it's difficult. And we're beginning to see, for example, in the coining of this phrase, the jilted generation, a sense of kind of the wrongness of this, something wrong that has been done to this younger generation, which will have some consequences for society. So I think there's this kind of this notion of the jilted generation, which, interesting, Ed Miliband's taken up now as well, is might play out politically as an encouragement to kind of thinking about the current situation is not only one of economic recession, of potential rise of radical forces, political forces, but also one of generational conflict.
Well, you've just started work on a large collaborative study looking at young people's social participation across Europe. Could you tell me a bit about it?
Yeah, My Place is an FP7, a large integrated project, which involves 16 partners across the whole of Europe. And we started out precisely with this idea that we need to understand where young people fit into society, into community, how they engage in politics and in civic activities more generally, in the context of current economic recession.
Where will all the work be taking place?
Well, as I say, we're working across Europe, so it's 14 different countries, and in each country there will be case studies In particular regions in the UK, we'll be working in the West Midlands around Coventry. We're still deciding exactly which cities or towns to make the site of the survey and interviews. But we hope to be able to produce kind of national portraits of what's happening in each of these 14 countries, as well as do some kind of quite big transnational comparative work to look to see whether the same issues are coming up across Europe or whether local issues, especially around issues of the ways in which political activism plays out against the background of economic recession is deeply locally constituted. So things around particular past histories, political struggles of the past, the ways in which those political struggles perhaps have been passed down intergenerationally, whether ethnic and racial issues and compositions of different localities makes a difference, and so on.
So as part of this project, I understand you're also going to be looking at to what extent young people's views are shaped by their families and their backgrounds. Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yes, I mean, this comes out as one of the kind of under-researched issues around young people's civic engagement. So when one of our particular interests in this project is looking at the potential for the radicalisation of young people's political activism at this current point in time. And that literature tends to point to kind of either supply or demand issues. So it points to the radical parties in particular. Of course, in the UK, there's been a lot of discussion about the rise of the BNP and of the English Defence League, which, again, in the West Midlands has been particularly active. So we're interested in looking at those kinds of issues, but also some of the underrepresented issues, issues around individual circumstances, around family, and actually political attitudes surveys do suggest that the family is still perhaps the major factor in influencing how young people engage politically. So, you know, not only the kind of passing down of voting traditions, which is still very, very strong. If your parents vote for one party, then young people tend also to say they were most likely to vote for that party, but also whether people engage or not. So, for example, if parents don't vote, young people of those parents tend to be absolutely certain that there's no point in voting. If parents are active in civic or charitable political activities, then young people are also much more likely to be active themselves. And it's one of those things that we tend not to research terribly much because of the thrust towards looking at kind of young people's inactivism, their apathy and so on. So we want to go behind those headlines issues, which, you know, are, you know, there is statistical evidence to say that young people do not participate in party politics as much as the older generation, but they do other things. And so we're interested in looking what are those other things and what are the values perhaps that they're taking from parents and from peer group, very importantly, that encourage them to take part in whatever they are doing.
So what are you hoping will be the outcomes of this research?
We've only just started. We've been going only 2-3 months of a 4-year project, so it's hard to anticipate exactly what we'll do. Obviously, there'll be a series of academic studies that will come out, as I say, both at national level and comparative level. We're also very keen to make the research accessible to wider audiences. So there's a lot of visual dissemination plans. So, for example, a documentary film which will look at a number of different countries across the project, not only at national level, mobile exhibitions. We're working very actively with the Herbert Museum in Coventry to both to do some of the research, especially around intergenerational transmission of civic values in the local area. But they will also help us with some of the dissemination events, which we hope will be of interest to the wider public. Although we're starting kind of in the now with economic recession and the ways in which young people are engaged, the real point of the project is to kind of think about how current civic engagement is shaped by both the past and how it may change in the future, and whether there's a connection between those pasts at the not only via family values but also at the state level, so the experiences within political cultures of different countries, whether that impacts on either their civic activism now or their potential to be receptive to radical right-wing and other radical agendas. So we're very interested in looking, and the choice of the countries that are involved is very much shaped by recognising different political heritages. So we have a large number of countries who've had authoritarian past in some shape or form, so a number of former communist countries, Russia, Georgia, Latvia, Estonia, Slovakia, Hungary, as well as countries that have had fascist regimes, so Portugal, Spain, Germany, and then countries that have apparently had no authoritarian periods like the UK, but have also had kind of dark moments in history where there has been a particular escalation of conflict on the streets, perhaps at the ballot box. And in the UK in particular, we're interested in kind of the late 70s, early 1980s, which actually has a lot of similarities with the current situation for young people, where you've got a deep economic recession, large-scale public cuts in order to cut national debt, and the consequences on this for young people. So kind of rising youth unemployment, which we have at the moment, and a sense of the need to control young people in various ways. And, you know, this, as then, 1981, if you think back to the Brixton riots, the Toxteth riots and so on, and what's been happening in the UK over the summer, we see, you know, kind of response, maybe different responses, but a response to this by young people.